Hi, my name's Yanni. I'm an Aboriginal peer support worker at Headspace Adelaide. I'd like to acknowledge that the land we operate from and are meeting on right now is the land of the Kaurna people. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present and future, and acknowledge Headspace's commitment to making a positive contribution to young people who are Aboriginal.
Welcome back to Headspace Sessions podcast. My name's Claire, I'm from the community engagement team.
And I'm Sam, I'm from Edinburgh North as a youth ambassador.
And I'm Sarah, and I'm also from Ed North as a youth ambassador.
I'm Ben, I'm part of the Adelaide YRG, and I'm sneaking back in as a content developer guest.
We're happy to have Ben back on board today.
I'm back.
And today we're talking about healthy habits and how you keep a healthy headspace through your healthy habits. You know, just like a car and other things in life that you try and keep well maintained, they run best when you look after them, funny enough. So how do you guys keep a healthy headspace?
Yeah, well, for me, at least for recent times, I've been going to the gym more, I've been sleeping more, I've been eating a bit more. And when I'm not studying, I always do try to decompress. Like, even, I think, you know, playing games sometimes is a bit, can get a bit mentally taxing. So I do try to, like, just lie in bed and just be like, okay, time to, you know, wind down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know about what are you guys?
Well, for me, I am one of those people that hates routine. I cannot get myself into a routine and stick to it because then I'd like drive myself nuts thinking like, my every day is the same. So for me, I really struggle to set habits, but I really think that exercise for me is probably the most, I don't know, cathartic thing that I could do because I also want to stick to a healthy diet. I can't really do that unless I'm exercising because I feel like if I'm, you know, eat some junk food, then I'm undoing all that work and I sort of need to have the incentive to not eat the junk food. So for me, those two things sort of go hand in hand and that's what I'm feeling best. That's when I'm feeling, you know, the least anxious, you know, the least prone to feeling down as well. So yeah, for me, it's about, I guess, putting good things in and burning energy and yeah, that's probably my favorite.
For me with exercise as well, it was kind of changing the concept of what exercise was for me to help me keep a healthy headspace. Like it doesn't just have to be going to the gym and for some people that's amazing, that really works in their routine, but it's like what other forms of exercise or movement can you kind of like fit into your day or, you know, walking to the shops rather than driving and trying to fit in exercise where you can or like having a dance party with your mates is like equally exercising. You know, exactly. Dancing more back in our lives, I've realised that how much exercise that is.
I missed
for
it
me.
So much.
I think I like that point actually because for me it has been about changing the way I perceive exercise. And so rather than seeing it as a necessity and something that's a chore, seeing it as something that makes me feel good. It took a while to reframe it in that way, but trying to see it as a positive that is good for me is actually really a lot harder than I thought it would be. So, but that's really helped. That's
I get you.
I've been trying to really like sort of reach out and socialize with my friends because I think, you know, for me, sometimes if I spend too much time like just with myself, I get into my own head a bit and I like psych myself out. So like having that period to have that sort of like normalization of things because you're just chatting with other people and like, you know, enjoying something with your friends. I think that really helps yourself and it also probably has the added benefit of helping them out as well. So I've been really trying to adjust to have like more frequent sort of catch-ups with my mates and like having, you know, checking in with them just to make sure they're doing all right.
I definitely have pick that up as a, it's like in-person mates is very good for me, at least personally.
Especially like now that we can see what we've been missing out on a little bit, it makes you a bit more appreciative. Yeah. But also like being social is really good for overall well-being. And I think there was a study done on older Australians who I think it was found that life expectancies were a little longer when they were more socially involved in their communities and in their peers. So yeah, it's definitely an important thing for our overall health and well-being, which is you're not surprising. It's, I guess it's common sense, but it's good to have that evidence to sort of say that that's the way to do it.
Like, and it's definitely forming those habits with your friends, like that might help you stick to some of that social connection as well. Like with my friends recently, with some of the, you know, Star Wars series coming out, like Kenobi, we'd start making like a Wednesday night. It was night we'd all come together, hang out at someone's house, you know, watch the most recent episode, and kind of emulate that experience of when things used to come out weekly, and enjoy. And then you know, kind of discuss the show, but you also have a chance to sort of touch base about your week. And it's been a while since I'd done anything like that. And I didn't realize how valuable that was until I think it was, what, last Wednesday or something? There was an episode, so we didn't do it. And I was like, man, no. Something's missing from my week.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice.
And trying to form that connection that way. And yeah. So I think I'll try and redevelop that habit with them and try and, you know, pick a new show and something and kind of do something weekly with them. It's been really, really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to have something to rely on as well socially, a regular thing. It's good.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, like going back, because you guys spoke like trying to like take away the routine, but I found like getting that routine is because I used to be a very like blasé kind of person, but I realize like I get really stressed if there's no routine. Like I go, oh, damn, like I haven't done anything. I feel like I haven't done anything if I don't have anything to tick off. Mm-hmm. And like, so what I did was, well, I mean, I was lucky enough to get a personal trainer. They were able to essentially, because I'm not great at setting my own stuff. And I even told this to my PT and he was like, you're a perfect client. Because I said, I don't really like thinking. I just like sort of doing.
Yeah.
So if someone tells me to do something, I'll be like, okay, yeah, cool. It's like, it's on my radar now. I'll just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, that's perfect because that means that, you know, you'll just do it and, you know, won't complain about it. You just, well, I mean, you can, you know, you always can be like, oh, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to get it done. And I have it, so it's like, I've sort of taken that burden of like knowing what to do off me. And I was a bit, you know, it can be a bit, but I don't like the mentally taxing. Like it gets really stressful, like trying to figure out and plan all these things. So I already have to plan my day with a lot of other stuff when it comes to like uni and work. And like, I want something, one part of my life to be like not under my control, just so I can, you know, just do it and not have to think about doing it. And that's.
Take the load off a little bit.
Yeah. It's like, I don't have to think about it. I just need to like fit it in my day and that's it. Like, at least I know what I'm doing. And then like another thing is that when I was at the gym back when before I got my personal trainer, I was just sort of working out and I was like, oh damn, I'm not really seeing any results. Yeah. Because I was like, not that I wasn't doing the wrong exercise, but I just wasn't like, I didn't understand how the body works. Like, you know, you can do as much research online as you can, but like you really need to spend a lot of time doing that research to actually understand what you need to do at one time. And now that I've been going, I've been seeing like it's actually been helpful and it's like, oh wow, it's like this is sort of working right, like for me. It's like good.
Yeah, on that, there's like a whole field dedicated to it. Like people get diplomas, degrees in exercise physiology and stuff. And it's like they have to learn for years to implement like an effective exercise regime. Mm. You can do it from home. You can like look on YouTube and watch somebody else do it, sure. But like tapping into their expertise, you can't be expected to do that on your own. So yeah, good on you for getting a PT because that removes that barrier to doing it. And you've actually set that healthy habit.
Yeah,
it's great.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I said the thing.
Roll
credits, roll credits, guys. Come on.
What you were getting on with like with routine before? And like I think I've been trying to find that balance between like ritual and routine because my job is like, you know, I can be starting at like the wee hours of the morning or I can be like working all the way up until like the dead of night. So I find it hard to have that consistent sort of like weekly, all right, I'm going to do this because, you know, I know you could try and sleep at the same time every day, but because, you know, I could work entirely in the morning on one day and entirely in the night the other day. For me, it's kind of having that sort of day by day basis of like what I'm going to do in that day, but rather than what I'm going to do in that week.
How do you manage your sleep with a schedule like that then?
Yeah, that's
is that a healthy habit you formed?
I've tried to kind of adjust it because I did initially start out when I started my job just doing like, all right, I'm going to go to bed at this time and wake up at this time, and it never worked.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I kind of tried to adjust it to, you know, this is the amount of sleep I'm going to get every night. Even if it's like not necessarily at the same time, I'm always going to get this amount of sleep before I wake up the next day.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, if you're trying to like stick to this rigid sleep thing all the time and it's not working for you, you're just going to lose sleep and stress about it later on.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a spiral. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's also the matter of like, when do you actually feel your best and when do you need to go to sleep and wake up in order to have the best kind of day? Like, you know, there's this sort of theory that people have a chronotype, which is like a preference for waking up and going to bed at certain times. And there are three. There's morningness, eveningness, and intermediate, which is somewhere in the middle. Most people, I think, are intermediate. But then there's those extreme morning and evening types. And really, it's interesting because society is so geared towards morning types. You know, we go to work, we go to school super early, commitments early, appointments early. Not much happens during the night, right?
Yeah.
But I'm an evening type. I definitely feel the best from like 5 p.m. to like 10 p.m. And so that's when I like do my best work, which is kind of a problem given that work is 9 till 5.
Yeah.
And I'm like so tired until like 10 a.m. I think it's important to understand where you sit on that spectrum and where you, you know, where your preferences are, because, you know, if you're trying to squeeze lots of stuff in the morning and you're just so tired, maybe that's not the optimal way to do your routine. And then there's also the matter of thinking about people who are evening typed. Are they going to be prone to caffeine, substance use? Are they going to be prone to depression because they're not fitting into this morning type world around them? So it's a really big problem. And that's, I guess, a thing that can really hinder your implementation of healthy habits, because maybe you're not actually like doing the right thing for your body during the day. Yeah. So it's important to understand that for yourself before you try and work out, you know, your bedtime and your wake time and stuff. But absolutely, you can't have a rigid schedule because it's just impossible. But trying to just do the right thing by you is super important in that respect.
And being consistent with those times, like you said, you just kind of aim for a time period that you're going to go to sleep and get that much sleep, I think is still equally as beneficial to you, because then you kind of, your body knows what it's in for. Like it's still getting a decent amount of sleep no matter what.
Yeah. You need sleep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I found for me, like, I was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to try it out because I, you know, like I already feel kind of dodgy. So what's the harm? And then I started feeling like so much better when I did it. But I think, yeah, it's still important to note, like, that worked for me. But I think I'm also more of like an evening type person. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why that system sort of works a bit better for me.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think I'd be like, yeah, do this, because it could be that someone else is a completely different type of sleeper to me. And they're like, how do you live like this, man? Like,
yeah. That's right. It's like, you know, it's that awkward thing around, you know, I need to get up at 7 a.m., but I'd rather get up at 9 a.m. and that's when I feel the best waking up, and trying to work around that. And I guess work these days is really good because it's flexible. Mm. A lot of jobs you can work from home, but not all. Yeah, those are, I guess, maybe the optimal sorts of arrangements for people who have like extreme preferences in either direction. But it's hard.
Do you find it hard to get sleep, Sam, or do you kind of in your, because you've talked about this quite structured life, do you find it's,
well, that's,
it's
like
structured?
One thing that I don't structure is my sleep. Like, I know a lot of people do, like, okay, time to bed now, but it's more like, look, after around 10 to 11 I'll be like, oh, I'm a bit sleepy, I'm a bit tired. I do, because I do have been for the last couple of, like, maybe a month or two, have been working like from, you know, 10 in the morning to 6, 7 in the evening. So it's like long days. I'm on the road. I will get really tired at like 8. But I normally go to bed around just before, like between 11 and 12. Like I say, like 11:30 is when I'll put my phone down and then maybe turn the lights off and then just be like, let's see if I can get to sleep. And even if I don't get to sleep straight away, because some nights I don't, some nights I do, some nights I'll, you know, wake up in the morning. But, you know, what's going on? Where am I? It's like, wake up in the sky. Anyway, sorry, I digress. So it's really just, because I really like the like morning wake up, go back to sleep for another 2 hours kind of thing. So what I do is I set an alarm at 7, because that's a really, you know, annoying time to wake up. Yeah. Set an alarm, because I used to have to do it for my old job, where I started at 8, so I had to wake up at 7 to leave the house. And then obviously I've left and I got a new job, but I don't need to wake up at 7 anymore. But I do that because I'll turn off my alarm, and my alarm is like, so my phone alarm is on the other side of my room, so it forced me to get up, get my phone, turn it off. But what I'll do is I'll bring my phone with me. I have another alarm, you know, at 9, and then I'll have that alarm next to me. So at least I have like 2 hours of like the best sleep I'll ever get for the day. And then that is every day. And it's great, because it just means like I don't start work until 10 mostly. So if I have to wake up at 9, I'd have that 2 hours of like sleep that I've, you know, like the most.
You can appreciate.
Yeah. The most and then, and then so I wake up. And then because I've already like sort of woken up once, I'm like not super, 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 super tired at the time that I need to be up. Mm. And it just helps me like be awake at, you know, at 9:30. I'll be like, oh, cool, I'm out of bed now. I'm able to walk. But if I go to bed a bit later, it's a bit harder, but, you know.
Yeah. I'm like the other end of the thing. When I wake up, I've got like two alarms 5 minutes apart. One's like the wake up alarm and the other's like, you need to be in the shower alarm. But for me, like the actual getting to sleep part, I have this whole routine for, where like my morning routine's like really nice and condensed and I can do it without any problems. But the evening routine, I'm like, sometimes I'll be there for like 3 hours lying in bed. I'm like, I can't sleep. There. So I've got this like whole like winding down routine I do before I get to bed to get my body sort of associating, all right, it's sleepy time now. Because obviously, sorry.
No, you're okay. I was just going to say, I'm definitely the same with my sleep. Yeah. I notice when it's bad, if that makes sense. Like, 'cause you don't realize when it's good, for me anyway, with sleep. And so that when you're kind of going through a rough patch of like not being able to fall asleep at night, or really vivid dreams, or waking up and feeling like you haven't really slept, I'm like, what have I done differently?
It's like when you get a blocked nose and you're like, I didn't realize how good I had it.
Yeah, it's absolutely take it for that granted. Feeling.
It's like, why does everything taste so bad?
Like, oh. So just try to be more appreciative of my good sleep when I get it now as well.
Absolutely. Because it's like, you know, a lot of people at some point are affected by insomnia and you know, other life events that make it harder to fall asleep. And yeah, that's right. Appreciating it while you've got it is an awesome way to just like enjoy the healthy habit that you've got of sleeping. But yeah, that's the thing, is it's like, there's so much that can affect our sleep. And I also wanted to like touch on blue light and like how we all sort of use our phones before bed, and we lie there in bed and we get this flash of blue light, and that delays our sleep. It can make us feel less sleepy when it's time to go to sleep. And so, you know, putting that phone down and having a bit of time between putting it down and trying to go to sleep is good. Doing something that's not, you know, illuminated by a big screen is usually, you know, a good strategy. But isn't it just crazy how much we all use our phones and before bed? And
or have you like the blue light filters? Like, those things are a bit of a game changer.
Yeah,
my phone auto puts it on at 10 o'clock at night.
I set mine up.
My PC also has like, it turns it into like a warm light. And I also have, in my room, I have my like down light. I mean, it's more of just like a light bulb, but you know, it hangs on the ceiling, so I'll cool it down. Anyway, it's LED controlled, like Wi-Fi controlled one, so I can set it to colors, but you know, that's fair if I want to have some fun, you know. You know, I want to have a party in my room, or just, you know, make it multicolor. But you know, normally I'll set it between cold or warm. So cold is when I'm trying to study, and then I'll set it to warm, and it goes from like really cold, like, you know, basically white, to like a, you know, sort of beigey,
nice,
sort of
orange-ish type color.
Yeah, exactly. And that also, and then I can set the brightness level as well.
Bright like that.
I can set the brightness as well, so I can make it really bright if I really need to be like focused. And then what I'll do is I'll set it to really warm and then really dim,
like this.
And so that, and then this just makes it really easy to just like this is literally what my room looks like at 11:30. This is the same color.
Ready for bed.
And that's how I can do it. And because I control it all from my, I mean, like you said, like we use our phone so much, I can control it from my phone. And I can even turn it off on my phone, but I actually don't like doing that because I'm a bit paranoid, you know, for fire safety. So I just, part of my routine is also getting up out of bed, flicking the light switch off, and then getting into bed. So that's like, that's
awesome.
Time to sleep is when I've.
It's a really good routine to have.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I've got this kind of wacky strategy I use where after a certain amount of time before it's like sleep time, I stop checking what the time actually is. So like, you know, if it's approaching like an hour or two before bed and I'm like, you know, starting to get into that like bedtime routine, my partner thinks it's really weird. She's like, what are you doing? Like, but I'm like, I'm not checking the time because then I won't think about what time it is.
I relate
and
deeply to
I this. Feel like I've gotten the best sleep ever by the time I wake up because I have no idea what time I went to sleep.
Oh, it's placebo.
Yeah,
sleep.
Yeah.
Because then you get in your head about
it's like, instead of like, oh, I only got 5 hours of sleep, it's like, I got 20 years.
Because then you also get in your head of like, oh, it's midnight.
I got to wake up at this time in the morning.
I do try, because, I do try and keep a bit of mind because I do, because I have to eat.
Yeah.
Like, I've been told to eat a certain amount, and it means that sometimes, especially because I'm not a morning eater, I'm not like a late afternoon eater. If I eat something really heavy, I'm not going to want to eat for like the next 5 hours, right? So, you know, if I eat at 5, I'm going to have to, like, I've got to make sure that I've got to eat something before, you know, before 10, before 8. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a bit rough for me.
Yeah.
That's all good. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all,
I'm just going to say, I am also a connoisseur of like the Hobbit second dinner supper type.
Oh, yeah, no, sitting. Like I'll eat something and then I'll get hungry again. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Now I've got to find something. But then I look at it and I'm like, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat that. It's like, because like, I, you know, I'm definitely the culprit of like the 12 o'clock. Oh, I'm so hungry right now.
I'm the same.
Yeah. How do you form those healthy habits with food then? So like, is the thing you're eating really late at night something that's going to be better for yourself to digest?
Habit
we're working on still?
Well, yeah, I'm still working on that. Definitely still working on the food. That was like the hardest part. So when the easiest thing that I found when I got my personal trainer was the exercise. It was the eating, it still is. The eating is like, it's just difficult to get your head around, especially because eating you know, I've spent the last 20 years having such different eating habits. Like, unfortunately, during high school, I just didn't eat that much just because various reasons. But, you know, I would have like maybe one meal a day and it was obviously not very healthy. And it's like, but then, you know, those are my formative years. Those are my like really like important years. I really should have been eating more. Mm. And so now to break those things, it's like harder. But the more I do the, you know, what I'm meant to be eating, the better it's become for me. Like, I've noticed changes. I've noticed I feel better. I've been eating more. It's actually like, it's crazy because like, oh, you know, for weight loss, everyone's like, oh, you got to eat less, you got to eat less. And my opinion is like, no, you got to eat more. You got to eat more. And I'm like, what do you mean?
It's
like,
don't listen to them.
Because your body needs a certain amount of energy, right? So no matter what, you've got to eat above what that energy is.
Mm.
Because when you start exercising, you're gonna need even more energy. So like your minimum becomes even higher in levels of energy. So you gotta eat at least equivalent. Otherwise your body's just gonna start holding on to fat because it's worried you're malnourished, which
And it needs to be good stuff. You need to like pay attention to like the fats and the proteins and the carbohydrates.
So I have like a specific split of like certain amounts of each because like I've got to hit each of those, you know, macros. People do get like really, they really do care about like the caloric values and stuff. And like, that's important to understand, but I definitely feel like the actual, how much protein you're getting, how many carbohydrates you're having, how much fiber, those are also really important because you want to keep that healthy digestive tract as well.
That's right.
You know, if you eat too many carbs, you're going to be feeling really bloated all the time. You're going to feel really lethargic because your body's trying to process all this carb. But same with if you've eaten too much protein, you can. It's also not great.
Everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation. Yeah. So you got to really find that balance. And you know, like I said, I don't have to worry about it. Someone told me how much I got to eat, so I just eat that much, and I tick it off a list, and it, you know, the bars go from like blue to yellow, and there's a star next to it, and I'm like, oh, I got a star!
Achievement.
But then some people don't like, you know, they want to do it themselves, and they want to be like, okay, well then I can figure out this much, this much, and it's like,
well, there's really good apps for that. Something I've used before is MyFitnessPal, free, and it's like a really great breakdown of your macros and also your calories, and also you can put your exercise in, and it tells you roughly like how much energy you maybe burn, and then that gives you an updated sort of caloric intake thing. And the awesome part about that as well is that it helps you customize to the goal. Do you want to gain weight? Mm. Do you want to lose weight? Do you want to maintain your weight? So that's really awesome too, and that helped me understand what I was eating in a day and how that might be affecting my energy levels and my weight. So definitely using an app like that just to get an understanding of what your body is sort of dealing with in your normal routine, and then trying to
because what I found with using MyFitnessPal as well is that it also tells you what when you eat something, if you have it has a barcode, you can actually scan that barcode and it will actually tell you whether or not it's got like high amounts of saturated fats, whether it's high in protein, whether it's and then it will actually say your goal is to have X amount of amount of fat, right? It will say this has a lot of very high. You can't really have any more. If you eat this, you won't be able to have much more, you know, fatty things for the rest of the day. So you've got to be mindful of what you're eating. It's not like you're saying you don't eat it at all. Like it's, they're like, it really helps you stay mindful of what you are eating and sort of take into perspective. Okay, so like tuna noodles. I love tuna noodles. I'm not going to stop ever eating tuna noodles.
Oh, me too, man.
But it's like this is really high sodium. You don't want to have too much sodium. It's got really high saturated fat. Don't want to have too much. So if you eat this, you're gonna have to balance it out with something like, you know, if you make like, you know, some chicken breast or something, don't use too much oil. Yeah. Have it with like some really like high fiber, like low calorie rice or something like that. Make sure you're eating equivalent so that you're not, you know, eating too much of that stuff. And it's like, you don't have to eat the same amount every day. Like each day is gonna be different. You're gonna eat different things. Like sure, some people like people do meal prepping. Yeah. And like I tried it once and I nearly threw up on the last day because the food just tastes absolutely horrid, right? Yeah. It's just rancid by the end of the day. Like the end of the week is rancid. It's like I can't do that. Some people can, you know, that's it's them. I can't. I need to be eating something different. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to act like throw my head against the wall. No, go ahead. No.
I reckon I'm really lucky because I'm a type 1 diabetic, and that's been like, I've had to have like a numbers game relating to my food since I was like a little kid.
Yeah.
But I think on the flip side of that, because I'm constantly counting carbs, because, you know, going back to the car analogy, if I don't get like enough carbs throughout the day, my blood sugar drops and I can't drive anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think the nice flip side of that is because I'm consistently sort of counting carbs and having to calculate meal sizes anyway for me, my focus on how I sort of feed myself is that nutrient variety, where I'm less focused on amounts and more like how sort of colorful does my dish look, not necessarily literally, but in terms of like the nutrients I'm getting. So like, you know, if I just feel like I need a little like boost for the day, I have this like little food I call the semi sandwich where, you know, I try and just put a little bit of everything I can get, like with a little bit of nice healthy nutrients. And obviously, you know, this doesn't include fruit because who puts fruit in like their sandwiches?
Yeah.
But you know, I've got my like, you know, my bread for carbs, and I personally prefer wholemeal. I think white bread feels funny to me. And you know, everyone's always like, oh, wholemeal's better than white.
See, anyway, I'm a sourdough boy doing through.
But I put like a little bit of cheese, a little bit of spinach when I have it, because I love that iron content from that. And then I put like, you know, as the name suggests, I put like some salmon there, or maybe not necessarily smoked, because obviously that's higher sort of salt content, but like, you know, like tinned salmon or tinned tuna there. Not everyone likes fish. It's not going to be everyone's cup of tea.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. This sounds
great. And I added like a little bit of seasoning just to give it that tiny bit of flavor.
Like seasoning, and I don't understand why people so averse to seasoning.
Yeah.
Like when they talk about healthy things, they're like, oh, like that's too, like if it's, it yeah. look, like if it's different colors, so it must be like extra
be bad.
Fat, extra. Ugh. No, like seasoning has virtually no caloric value. It is just for
doesn't
flavor,
do anything.
Right? Yeah, it's like good. It helps you eat healthy.
And there's nothing wrong. Like if, I think people are very ingrained about if something tastes good, it has to be bad for you.
Yeah.
Mm. Because they're so used to the McDonald's and the KFCs and the fast food in general, because it and the thing is, right, those aren't necessarily bad. Like, sure, they're going to have very high fat context, very high carbohydrate values.
You can make better choices. There, and you though. Can. There are some burgers that won't be as bad as
exactly.
others.
Exactly.
Sweet potato fries might be maybe a better exactly. option than potato fries.
Exactly. Like, if you can understand what you're putting in your body, you can choose. And, like, you can pick and choose what you're going to eat. Like, you know, you could have chicken nuggets, be like, all right, well, if I have six chicken nuggets, it's going to be a bit, in that, you know, pie chart, it's going to cut out a lot of, at least it's not as much as if I had a full meal with fries and a burger and a Coke, that's going to take up a lot more. But if I just had six chicken nuggies, I've tickled that, you know.
Nuggies.
I'm going to tickle that scratch in the back of my head saying, I want something unhealthy.
Yeah.
And you're not actually eating something that
it totally
unhealthy.
Comes back down to that balance. Right? Yeah. And trying to get everything.
You get your treat foods and stuff.
Moderation. There's
nothing wrong. Like people, I remember when I tried to go like cold turkey and all the unhealthy stuff, and it was just like,
just falls apart.
I just felt like absolute crap.
Yeah.
And like, obviously I went, the first thing I did when I broke it was go to KFC and get some like unhealthy stuff. I was like, well, no, what I should be doing is just getting the most healthy item I can, which is still going to have the fried stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eat it and I'm not going to feel bad about it.
Well, I feel like a good way to almost think about it is like, would you ever like feed your pet while never giving them any sort of treat ever?
Exactly.
Like, would you just give them their like kibble or their like wet food and that's it? Because I'd feel like horrible if I did that.
You gotta give them the doggy biscuit every day because
it's nutritious
and
delicious, but it's like not the treat because the treat's like, oh my gosh,
exactly.
It's just like something that just makes you feel happy.
Yeah.
And you know, cravings and stuff is something I've always struggled with, because if I want something, I'm going to get it. You know what I mean? If I want a pizza, I'm just going to go get one.
Absolutely.
It's happening. It's really hard for me to sort of break that. But like, I've found that finding like healthier alternatives is the way to go for me. Like having that craving and going like, okay, well, I'm not going to like completely go without, because YOLO, but I'm definitely going to not be really like gross about it and just go all out and be ridiculous and unhealthy.
These 150 chicken nuggets.
Yeah, 150 chicken nuggets, please. But what I found really for me is like, if I'm sleep deprived, I do want worse things. I want sugary. I want just a carb overload.
Yeah.
And that's a consequence of, you know, not getting enough sleep, and because your reward center is different after you're sleep deprived and you just want instant gratification and chocolate makes us feel good immediately, right? So we'll do that. But yeah, for me, it's like we're talking about with sleep and nutrition, that also goes hand in hand for me. It helps me regulate my nutrition if I'm sleeping better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how I've managed to sort of get on top of my diet and just make better choices and be able to reason with myself a little better as if I'm not really tired.
I like one of my tricks as well for like that sweet tooth, because I really like softies, right? Like soft drinks are great. But then, you know, they're very unhealthy. Unfortunately, they're very high in sugar, and that's just how it goes. But what I was lucky enough to have, like, I got my parents got me, they know that I love softies. They got me a SodaStream for my 18th birthday.
Woo!
And SodaStreams are really good, and they're actually quite effective, because the carbonated water stuff, like even just soda water. I used to hate it, but I'm like, oh, it's actually kind of nice, not gonna lie.
Because
it's like fizzy. It's yeah. just like it's yeah. like you got the fizz, it's a bit spicy. Like people go, oh, that's great. I'm like, I
love drinking white noise. I'm on your team.
Yeah, it's like exactly. static water.
It's static yeah. water. Static. So you can actually get like syrups that are just like they're zero cal, they're flavored, they're like taste like orange mango or like grapefruit, or like, you know, you can even get like Coke Zero, or like, well, I think it's Pepsi Max, but whatever. Yeah. It's like, you know, you can get non-sugary stuff, have it, and you don't feel bad about it. And like, it's not like marketed as diet food. It's just, it's because like I take issue with diet marketing.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it's literally just a mineral water syrup.
Basically, yeah.
So like, it's just guilt-free. Mm. You know, you fill up a liter and that's like, it's like cost like 2 cents, and you just pour it from your, it comes from your tap, basically.
Nice.
It's great because it's like I can make it every day.
Exactly.
And I can just, you know, I instead of having going and getting a Coke, I can just, you know, make something at home, have it, and it's
good.
Just it like
I think with all these things we talked about, it's really just understanding your own body and what works for it at the end of the day. Like for me, I know I feel my best when I'm not eating necessarily processed food. I'm making the time to cook. I notice when I've had like a busy month and I haven't cooked as much, like I feel it like physically.
Yeah,
and so, like, again, it's that thing of like you notice it once it's gone. It's like the past 2 weeks, month prior, I definitely had one of those months. And then past 2 weeks, been back to like cooking for myself again. Yeah. And the difference it makes in my body. Like, I just love a good bit of broccolini. And knowing that vegetable, that thing that you're willing, that you consistently love, and just making sure that's part of your life, it's really how I try and make sure I'm still having vegetables. Because you don't have to love everything.
No, of course not.
And you don't have
There's
to be,
so many.
You don't have to be involved in want every healthy thing in the world, but knowing the things that you do enjoy and do well,
there are so
for
many
you.
There are so many alternatives for stuff, like you know, obviously Sam was talking about soft drink alternatives. I can't even drink normal soft drinks, so that's like, you know, that is my go-to, and I'm so grateful they exist. But I think, you know, I'm a guy, love mushrooms, they're probably my favorite food ever.
Oh my god!
Obviously, that's a bit of a controversial topic.
Yeah,
I find people either love them or hate them.
They are. Really.
So, I'm with you. Yeah.
But you know, I hate tomatoes.
Oh, same.
With my entire being.
Wow. It's
that so bad. Hey?
Even like pasta sauce tomato.
Oh, pasta sauce is alright. But like the actual fruit. Yeah. Like if there is like a tomato in like a burger I'm eating, or like a whole tomato on top of, like, you know, like in that pasta sauce, if there's like chunks of tomato, I'm like,
I've gotten better with it, because like I started eating burritos, and some places like Zambies, I won't ever intentionally add tomato. But then if I go to like GYG or like Salsa's, they just have it there, and I'm like too scared. Like, I used to be better at it, but I'm too polite. But like sometimes it's like, look, it's like salsa and it's got, and I'm like, look, fine, I'll eat the tomato.
Okay.
I've gotten better at it, but like you said, like if there's a tomato and it comes like a whole ring, not happening.
I give myself the like 10 tries rule. Like, I feel like I treat myself like a child. Like, I'm trying to get better with like seafood. Like, all my friends are seafood people, I'm the one that is not. And so like we do like a nice dinner, and so like I'll try it, but I'm not going to pretend like I like this thing.
Yeah.
And then if it gets to the point where I've definitely tried it enough and I still don't like it, then it's okay. Like, you just accept you don't.
This relationship
like
has gone very sour.
Exactly.
Wow.
No, you were talking about broccolini.
Good for you
and it's
for trying though.
Yeah,
adulting to myself.
Teaching yourself.
I know this isn't the how to adult episode, but that's how I adult when it comes to food.
But it's right, because like obviously when you eat, so when I exercise, I normally do it before I eat, because I just find like I get really
sluggish after fill it up.
You need to like sleep it off after you've eaten, you know. Sometimes feel so if I'm gonna be tired after I eat, I might as well be tired because I've also exercised as well, and that way like I'm actually like you know, because I wake up first thing in the morning normally and go, and like if I'm not working straight after, I'll normally go to the gym before I do anything else, because I want to be gym, shower, be fresh, and then eat something and then, you know, start my day that way. Yeah, it's just if I'm going, you know, exercise, and sometimes I don't go to gym, I like might go like, I live right up next to a national park, so I'll go up for the trails there, or some of my friends like to go bouldering. So I go with them, but I'll still do the same thing. Like, if I know it's exercise, I'll do it like after, like, you know, first, like as early as I can, because I want to eat, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat too late in the day, like first meal, but I also want to, like, because I just found that I've got more energy that way. And then I can just recomp after by eating something nice. And I can eat something bigger. Like, I can eat more after exercise because I'm going to get really hungry. Yeah. And then I feel better about myself.
And fasted cardio is really good for you. Like, if you're trying to lose fat, then your body will draw on the fat you've already got rather than what you've just put in your system.
Yeah.
So doing that's a really good way to...
And, like, obviously, I mean, I wouldn't recommend taking, you know, pre-workout supplementate. Like, it's what I do. But, you know, if you can do without... then that's more power to you. I'm just, if I'm first thing in the morning, I'm also going to be a bit grumpy. I'm going to have like a lot, not as much, you know, willingness to do something. So I'm just going to need a bit of a kick in the the behind to get myself going, you know, and that's what I use that for. But before I was, you know, doing all that stuff, it was really like my favorite thing to do. And it still is like one of my most favorite things, especially in the like spring, sort of just like late August, early September, when it stops raining a lot. And then it's doing those like nature hikes and stuff. Because you've got beautiful blue skies. The air's still a bit cold, like it's going to be in the like low, you know, 16, 17, but because you're doing that cardio and you're heating yourself up, it's just like really perfect for that. You get really hot and it just cools you off until you can just do more. Because you go in the summer and it's like,
it's an oven.
It's like you're 30 degrees. Yeah.
It's brutal here.
I woke up in sweat. I'm not going to go out and, you know, melt myself.
Do some more.
And like, you know, you've gone through like 4 liters of water and you're like, what's going on? And you can just, it's just, and that's why I prefer, I really like winter exercising because it's just like, it's cold. I do exercise. I get warm. I can wear less layers.
Yeah.
And I'm also like cooling myself.
Still getting that. That cyclical thing. I think, for me, like with exercise, I'm really bad at 99% of like organized things. So like I've never been the sort of guy, like I don't go to the gym. I'm not really a huge fan of like gym equipment, even like at home. And if you've ever seen me try and play a ball sport, you'd know like in games like soccer, I'm the goalie because my face is a ball magnet. And that's basically sums up my experience with most hand-eye coordination games. So for me, you know, I spent ages. I'm like, how do I get my like sort of exercise in? And I started trying to like work it into my already existing routine, but just as part of my sort of day. So, you know, when I catch public transport, perhaps, you know, I check the time, and if I can actually just walk home in a little bit of a longer time, I'll just walk instead of catching a bus, because A, I don't have to wait for the bus. B, you know, I'm walking, I'm getting that good exercise, and usually I like head off and meander and explore, so I end up spending like way longer out there than perhaps, you know, I originally intended. But, you know, I think you just get those like tunes, like good vibes.
Yeah, no, you know, I love it.
It's good, you know, me time as well. It's good,
exactly.
Like, downtime.
It's introspective,
that's,
you know.
That's the main thing. If I'm not listening to music, it's not exercise. I tell you right now. Like, I can't.
Goes hand in hand.
I cannot. Mm. I don't, like, and I probably, it's like I've just, like, psychologically done it to myself because I used to. Pavlov dog. But it's like, I listen to music. I listen to some, even, it doesn't even have to be, like, pumpy tunes. I have a chill mix and I exercise to like, you know, like, Olivia Rodrigo's playing and I'm, like, you know, doing, like, a bench
lo-fi
press.
Lo-fi
like,
hip-hop beats like, to exhaust I can, yourself
I can,
too.
As long as I've got my earphones in and I'm listening to music, I am down to do some walking. It's just, like, my mind isn't concentrating on me doing the exercise. It's concentrating on the music. And so, like, I'll end up from point A to point B. It'll be, like, 20 minutes, but I just didn't feel it because I've been just having, like, just been bopping out, you know.
I think it's really good to do that exercise outside to an extent. I mean, gyms are great and home gyms. I've got a home gym and that's really awesome and it helps me a lot. But I think that there's just something about going for a walk and like putting headphones in or going for a hike or going for a run or whatever you like doing and getting that vitamin D, because vitamin D makes us feel happier. And it's also really easy to become like deficient in vitamin D, and that can really like mess you up for months. So doing that, going outside, getting some sun, even just like doing some stretches in the backyard after a workout even is just a good way to get a little bit more vitamin D, and that makes us feel a little bit better. And that's something I like doing, and that's another habit that I've tried to form.
On the subject of, you know, exercise, my sort of walking strategy, I reckon that popped up, you know, sort of when I was in sort of earlier high school, because I started having like anxiety problems. And, you know, the sort of what I did to get out of that was like exposure therapy, to just being outside around people, and that sort of naturally segued into my really long walks, because you know, I was trying to expose myself to being outside and around other people all the time. But I think, you know, if I'd perhaps had the knowledge now that the knowledge back then that I do now, I think, you know, it would have helped me handle that situation a lot better anyway as well, just on top of that. Yeah. Because it was good to develop it as a result of that. But, you know, obviously, retrospective is 2020.
Yeah. It's cool that you were able to do that for yourself, figure out a way to sort of become, like, overcome some of those challenges. Yeah. It's great.
And kind of understanding your coping mechanisms of what can then help you in the future. Yeah. Like, I think recently for me, unfortunately, I went through kind of really tough time the past like couple of months. Yeah. And so it was really interesting for me to see how I cope and what kind of healthy habits stay and what go and kind of being okay with that, because it's not always like everything's going to stay in place and you're going to be perfect habit, like in these perfect habits all the time, particularly when you're going through a bit of a rough patch. For me, it was that walking, but also just getting out of the house and trying to like shake up your day and make sure you had commitments with friends and people in your life to have that support.
I also like, every time I go through like a rough patch, my first thing, because I don't normally drink that much, but the first thing I'll do is to make sure that I don't, like, even if I'm going to social events, I don't drink. I just like, I'm not a huge runner in the first place. I just make sure, because I know that, like, because, you know, in the past I've made the mistake was like, I've not done that. And it's not like become a problem, but like, you know, I've had like nights where I probably, you know, I could have calmed it down.
Yeah.
And so now I don't want to, and I don't want to experience that, you know, because it feels so horrible the next day. So it's like, I will just, if I'm not feeling great, I'm just going to stick to the soft drinks. I'm going to like calm down and enjoy my time with my friends instead of, you know,
have that connection point. Exactly. Rather than using it for anything else.
Because I don't need it.
It
will make it worse. And that's how it's just keeping away. You got to, you know, bring in the mind, you know, to think about what you're doing, think about your day to day. Because like I say, it can just really get hard, especially because when I go through a tough time, it can really like shut me down. I just don't want to do anything at all. I just want to lie in bed. And like, it can get hard to do the stuff that I love.
Yeah, I really sort of fall into the whole binge eating or being lazy, playing video games, not moving much. And I think that exercising, at least trying to exercise once a day during like periods where you're feeling a bit down or a bit upset or a bit anxious, is really useful to just pull yourself out of that, get into a more of a self-improvement mindset and just escape from the usual things you fall into when you're going through that. Yeah. So yeah, exercising, eating well, sleeping, all that stuff is really important to maintain, especially when things are just not great.
I think we might have talked this earlier in the season, but I was going through a tough time. I was literally stuck at home for months on end, and then uni didn't come back because both semesters of uni were online, so I had even less of a reason to go outside even after lockdown lifted. What I ended up doing for myself was getting a Switch game, which is like a fitness one, and that actually quite helped me a lot. Because the gyms were also not fully open.
It's that dual sort of motivated.
So I was like, well, I'm already playing. I'm literally playing Breath of the Wild like 24 hours, 7 days a week. I might as well do something else on the Switch.
Go experience the wild.
I played the, and like it was really help, like good for me to get sort of just getting active was great, but it was like I felt like I was doing a bit more productive work because you know, I was at a computer, I was staring at a screen all day because uni was online and classes were online and I wasn't talking to, I had no, like, you know, the only friends I talked to I could only talk to online, and it was just, I wanted to do something else. And like, I went out in the backyard, but you know, most of the lockdown was done during the winter time. So it was pissing down raining. It was cold. It was windy. It was hailing some days. And we got hoodies. Like what was the reason for me to not, you know, it was really just about like separating myself from the situation that I was in, just going, okay, what can I do? Making sure it doesn't like becomes even bigger. I don't want to make this a huge problem, but like it was really about being aware that I wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm. And you sort of, started noticing.
And putting things in place.
Yeah, started noticing what was like picking up when things weren't going wrong. But I think, you know, one thing I was really bad at as a kid, like my parents are wonderful people, super supportive, love me to bits. But the issue was when I, like, our standard was like, are you dying? Otherwise you can go to school, you can, you know, do this. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like physically debilitated, you can't do this. And I think, you know, that got me into the habit with my mental health of being like, is it a disaster? And if it's not a disaster, then I don't do anything about it, sort of thing. But I've obviously that's a really important thing to know, because if you let it snowball, that means you're going to have to like rebuild your sort of positive healthy habits from scratch almost, rather than, you know, if you're like, I think I'm starting to notice this is a bit, you know, off, and like maybe if I adjust this or do this, I can sort of proactively help myself to not fall into that sort of disastrous position, and instead, you know, just kind of get through that tough period and get back to those healthy sort of routinely habits and living normally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Self-care. That's the moral of the story of today's whole episode.
That's
self-care.
A perfect way to wrap it up, I think.
Yeah.
I think encourage everyone listening as well to think about what are your healthy habits and what maybe slipped during a tough time and what are some things that you can put in place to help you when tough times happen to make sure you keep up to date or keep up to date or keep on top of some of those healthy habits. You know, you want to, like a car, maintain it and keep it going.
Remember what Dom Toretto says. Family is the most important thing.
And on that note, if you want any extra information or resources about this episode, you can head to headspace.org.au. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.